Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to First District Politics. I'm Bill Lichter, and tonight we have a very special guest, Taryn on the News. Everybody knows Taryn from Twitter. That's at TaryonThe News, Taryn on the News. Follow her right now on Twitter. How are you, Taryn?
Good, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. So you were telling me before this is going to be your first blog talk.
This is my first podcast ever. And
that's probably excellent.
because I do not have a voice for radio or for podcasts, but that's not stopping me tonight.
Well, no, I think you have a nice voice. So in a sense, Taryn, you could say that I was your first.
Yes. That's excellent. True. I'll give you that.
All right. Well, welcome and thank you. I look forward to having a nice conversation with you. The rest of our title tonight, special guest at Taryn on the News, talking Trump and how I was right. So I want to start right off, Taryn, by telling you that that little note you wrote me on the book you gave me today, the Trump coloring book, saying that I was right is so cool. Thank you very much for that, because you don't know how much a guy like me likes to hear a woman tell him that he was right. It's like happened
sometimes
like,
you
so
just,
far like two times in my life.
Sometimes you just have to say, quote, unquote, you were right and I was wrong. And in this election, boy, was I wrong. And I think most of the country was wrong. We really thought that things were going to go the other way. 4 months, I was worried that this would be the worst landslide in recent history for a presidential race. And I wasn't the only one thinking that. The big talkers were thinking that. And I certainly thought
that's interesting.
Wisconsin,
so interesting to hear you say that. Yeah.
We didn't necessarily feel as discouraged right before the race. I mean, right before Election Day, but say 2 months before that a lot of people and a lot of influential people were worried. So,
that's really, that's true. And it is true. You're right, Taryn. That's the truth. A lot of people were just so wrong, and it's to talk about the individual people, the reasons why they're wrong, or just some generalities. It's a very interesting topic to me.
Uh-huh. And I really thought with
Wisconsin
as well, I really thought there was no way he was going to win Wisconsin. I mean, that's what I believed. And I thought maybe it'd be close because of the things that came out with WikiLeaks. And that was really starting to, that WikiLeaks drip really started to kind of chip away at her facade, in my opinion, towards the end. And, but Wisconsin, I couldn't believe it. And I was thrilled. I was thrilled with the,
well, it
with
was
what
22,000.
Happened.
He won by 22,000, right, Taryn?
You'll know better than I.
Something like that. Divide that by 72 counties. I got my calculator. It's 305 votes per county. If you didn't, I know not all the counties have the same amount of people, but I'm just kind of reducing it to the ridiculous. Trump won Wisconsin, but how he won, because 22,000, that's a good chunk, but who were those people that just edged him out? Because that's a pretty close race. A lot of the, like Kenosha County, Trump won that by 155. Very
wow.
Democrat county in general. Yeah. Those are some tight numbers. So who are those people that put him over the top? It's women, Taryn. He had all those guys voting for him anyway.
I think the women
that voted for Trump and the women that voted for Clinton was a pretty tight race.
I kind of feel like at least for the people that might not vote, that people that aren't that don't often vote, I could see how Clinton how Clinton would be less likable than Trump. For people that don't that just don't vote, I could see how they would have more dislike for Clinton than they would for Trump.
And there's those people in that group, Taryn, they had a special liking for Trump too. Not only what you're saying, but it was even more inclined to like Trump because he had a big appeal to those people. So you could have heard so many interviews with those people in that group. Haven't voted in 20 years, haven't ever voted. I met a vet when I was out doing doors who Vietnam vet who had never voted before. This was going to get him to come out and vote. They saw something in Trump, a patriotism, a love for the country, pure American, America first, that they just have never seen. And people in our age group who've never seen a president like this, who's just like, is very patriotic.
You didn't see that in Reagan?
Well, yeah, I did. This is a whole different level, though. Not taking anything away from Reagan, but Trump is Reagan on steroids in a sense. He doesn't wear it on his cuff, maybe, like Reagan did, is the being so patriotic. Although he is, I mean, he's hugging the flag in one video I saw.
I think Reagan is pretty patriotic, and I know at least with his reelection. With his re-election results, the landslide was huge.
Mm-hmm.
And,
so it's nice to hear you comparing Trump to Reagan.
Well, I brought him up because I know that people like the Vietnam vet and people that have never voted, they certainly saw Reagan. And
so that's a good point. Something there is something about Trump that's just, you know, I think it might be that they think he can really do it. He can get it done as a little extra. And they're thinking like now or never. One of the things they do say, this is the last chance.
Chance for?
For them to vote for a president that's going to save the country. It's like now or never,
okay.
Or we're done. So that was like their little added icing on the cake that here's the perfect guy, the messenger we're looking for, and it's the last chance we have, and we got to do it now.
Well, I can't argue with that. I do hope that he has the right solution. He is he's popular with them. I hope that his solutions, he's doing things that seem to be popular with his base, like the carrier deal and calling out Boeing and saying we need a better Boeing deal on Air Force One, because as as you know, there will be a new Air Force One for the next president, and that is popular, the carrier deal in particular. But I have to wonder, are these things that are popular with the voter is that best for America? And we'll see. But he is doing
base. Let me tell you, I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to tell you what. Let not your heart be troubled, Taryn, as Hannity would say. You're going to be impressed. He's going to be just great. He didn't even get in there yet. Look what he's doing. He's done more. He hasn't even become the president yet than Obama's done in 8 years in any positive fashion. It's crazy. He's going to end up uniting people too. He really is.
Well, I think that the 7 years of Obama has really united people. Like, for example, the guy that you met knocking doors that was a Vietnam vet. I mean, people have been stirred that were dormant, and 8 years of being ignored or being dismissed or being called clingers to religion or guns or whatever, clingers to American principles. I think that kind of, when you combine that with someone like Trump that spoke in their language, that spoke in a way that rang true to them, it activated.
It took Obama to do what he did to create this timing for a guy like Trump to step in at the exact right time. Without Obama,
I think so,
there wouldn't be Trump. You know what I mean? So if you look back now, we can see how this pendulum has been swinging. We said it. I mean, I said it when Obama got in. Just give this time. It's going to come back. And when it comes back, it's going to cut their heads off. It'll be a big swing. And as it did. So I was right about that too, Taryn. So what did you specifically mean when you said, you know, Bill, you were right. What do you mean? What was I right about?
Well, before we get into that, I would like to say that I was right about Ted Cruz, and we had a bet. We had a bet about who would win the primary, and I happened to be right about Ted Cruz winning the Wisconsin primary.
Okay, okay. We can give you that.
So,
although
you can give
Ted Cruz, although Ted Cruz did not. That's a go ahead. That's a go ahead. I got your text. Tell her, call in. Ted Cruz did not win the primary. He was given the primary by the Wisconsin Right, the Wisconsin GOP, WISN Talk Radio. The machine gave that to
Ted
Cruz.
Did Alex Jones tell you this, or how did you?
No, I made that whole thing up all myself. All myself. I live here. I know these people.
Do you know how many doors I knocked on?
For Ted Cruz?
I worked my butt off for Ted Cruz. That was the first political campaign of any sort that I had ever done.
Let me grab this. We have a caller. Let me grab this caller. Hello, caller. Welcome to First District Politics. Hi, who's this?
It's Walter Matilda, also known as Amy.
Hey, Amy. Thanks for calling in.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Amy is a friend, and it was a joy to meet her in CPAC last month.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that was such a great time. So I'm only calling in to say, Taryn, I have to say that your coverage of the entire thing has been really fair, insightful. You've looked at both sides of all the issues, all the candidates, and I'm just calling in to support you and tell you I think this is great.
Well, thank you.
That is great to
hear. Thank you.
Now, when you say Taryn's coverage on Twitter, are you talking about her Twitter?
Well, I'm talking about on Twitter. I'm talking about her blog. She's just really, she's never, I think, Taryn, you were a Cruz girl at the start?
Very much, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I was actually a Rubio fan. I voted for Cruz in my primary. Oh, stop. Don't even. I voted for Cruz in my primary because that's what was left. But I just feel like, in the end, I feel like I did the right thing with Trump.
Me too.
That's cool. Amy, where do you live, if you don't mind me asking, just what state?
Oh, Pennsylvania.
Oh, we love Pennsylvania.
Of course you do.
He does now.
Commonwealth.
and thank you, so we will give you some jobs back, no problem. You'll be digging coal in no time. Stay in there.
All right.
Oh, you'll give it to them? That's really nice of you, Bill.
Oh. Okay,
it's really kind.
Step out now. All right, awesome show, you guys. Good luck. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for calling in. Bye-bye. Oh, that was really nice of Amy.
It was very fun meeting her and a few other people, a few other Twitter friends last March, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm.
So that made it worthwhile.
No, CPAC, what a great thing to be at, no doubt about it.
Yeah,
did
you should go one of these.
Yeah, there's so many things. Taryn, I need to go. You know what I need is I need one of these GoFundMe accounts to get Bill to go to CPAC. Yeah, that'd be great. But, well, that was our first caller. Congratulations on your first show. You have brought in the first caller to the show. Because of you, to give you credit for your fair coverage.
So do I get commission? Should I expect that?
I'm going
to
put this up on YouTube, and if they start monetizing it, I will tell you. We just got 3 cents.
3 cents?
No,
oh, excellent.
It's great. That is. It's a landmark. And because of that landmark, I think we have to. Oh. Watch out for the Trump train.
Mm-hmm.
One of my great sound effects, as all the listeners know, the million listeners, we've been slowly but surely up in the game at this show. We finally have a sound effects. They're nothing big, but they're a start. They work.
Okay, that one's a little too loud.
We'll tone it down. There, I have to turn it back down out of the red zone back into the yellow. Okay. So the volume does work. All right, great show so far. So what? We have 12 minutes.
I've been meaning to ask you, are you all on the Trump train trillion stimulus package? Or what do you think about that?
I like the idea. I mean, all through his campaign, Trump talked about rebuilding the country. Now, when he says rebuilding the country, and he talked about bridges, roads, tunnels, trains, everything. The infrastructure, the power grid. I mean, he talked about rebuilding the country. When he talked about that, what I knew through my common sense of knowledge that I have, that is not free. But what I do know is whatever Trump puts out is going to get done, not like Obama and Bush, where they just give this money away to their special interests and it's gone, poof, in the air, nothing gets done. So
you have
if we have to do stuff, we have to do stuff. Well, here's the thing, though. Because there's going to be more money coming into the revenue pocket of the federal government because of the tax cuts and the incentives he's going to give the businesses, everything grows. And through the Kennedy model and the Reagan model, the feds end up getting more money. That means they can spend some more money. And at the same time, he's going to be cutting so much stuff, he's going to be able to save too. You watch. I'm saying in his 8 years, he has a goal to take that, what are we up to now, $20 trillion, down to zero. It's only about that clock. You've seen these budget clocks that go on or the debt clock?
Yeah.
Things just spinning, right? There was a time in Wisconsin when Walker first took over, the Wisconsin debt clock was actually running backwards. When Walker changed some things that turned the tide backwards, and that budget clock is actually going in the right direction, down.
So
that's
so
how
you are
do
you
it.
Saying that,
we have to make changes.
Are you saying that Scott Walker had a big stimulus plan like Trump's proposing?
No, I'm only talking that debt clock can be reversed and it can go backwards and it can go down.
I'm wondering how
There's factors involved that make that debt clock run this fast or that fast, or it slows down, it can go backwards. It's only about those factors involved. So you change that.
The trillion package will speed it up.
No, not if the money's coming in the other end because the economy's picked up. The economy's nothing right now. Trump can barely step on the gas pedal and it's just going to go. We're so bad right now, Taryn. This is going to be so
that's
easy
why
for
I
Trump.
Think,
I want to.
That's why I think instead of putting stimulus plans or plans, whatever you want to call them, as your number one or number two item on the to-do list, I would think that he would be publicly touting and trying to advertise his hopefully intentions to lift regulations, reduce, like cut a big chunk of the EPA regulations.
He will.
And
that's not a, those
I
aren't
so,
even questions.
I,
look
well,
at the
I don't
people
feel
he's
like
appointing.
That's what
he's point. He's appointing the killers in their league. Each to the person. There's a lot of people that will stand behind every one of Trump's appointments and tell you why this person is one of the most kick-ass selections he could have made in every category. Right up down the list. Do some of them have some people that are, you know, bashing them? Yeah, you're always going to have that. But these are great selections.
I'd be thrilled if he picked Bolton for Secretary of State. The few concerns that I do have with him would be put to at ease if
I think Bolton would be 100% loyal. Bolton isn't going to get walked over, you know, in these meetings, and I think that Bolton
Loyal or not loyal, I think he'd be best for the country. And that's really what matters.
In the presidential cabinet, you have to have absolute loyalty, or they're out.
Right, but they're allowed to disagree and allowed to.
Sit down in the meeting. I want to hear your opinion. But when the meeting's over and we all decide on what's going to happen, that's what you go do without question.
Right. I don't know anything about how John Bolton deals with authority. But I know his opinions and his outlook on terrorism, on Russia, on China.
Can you imagine being a fly in the wall in these little meetings that Trump is having with these people? The Romney meeting,
the majority of them are just a show for the media to pick up on, I think.
Romney ordering in French. Did you hear that? When Romney and Reince and Trump went out to eat, Reince and Trump order steak and Romney orders lamb chops and wanted to order in French. No, this is just what I've heard. Someone can Google it and see if I'm right or wrong.
It's
call
probably
into the show 516-531-9307.
If I had to guess, it was a menu in French and the dishes up top are titled in French names and probably just said the French on the page, because that's, if you're at a fancy French restaurant or fancy whatever restaurant, the title of the food will be in the language of the restaurant.
That's what John Kerry would do, you know. Romney's like, oh, let me order. I know French.
Haven't you been to a restaurant?
Knows the language.
They'll say like gnocchi alla ricotta, and then underneath it'll be in English. But you say the Italian or the whatever.
I say gnocchi alla ricotta. That's how I say it. Gnocchi alla ricotta. No,
but
it's just funny.
That sounds like a nothing story. But what I was saying is I really think that most of the people that he has coming through his door publicly is for media consumption.
Mm-hmm. Agree. It's working so well. It's all part of him controlling the media. Karen, they have a camera on the elevator, the Trump elevator cam. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
These people. He's got them wrapped around his finger, wherever. He's got them wrapped.
I think he does.
Absolute control.
He does, and
he
knows how to – he does things that generate headlines because that's his specialty. That's what made his business successful. It was a big advertising thing, and so he's using that strength and he's manipulating the media in this case. And you know, before they're finished talking about what he did today, he'll be up like at 6 a.m. East Coast time tweeting tomorrow, setting the next agenda in tweets, and they'll just have to follow. The media will just have to follow because there's no publicist to go through. There's no Politico to release quotes to, because he's just mm-hmm. it's just all there are no middlemen, obviously, and he is setting the pace and the spin that he wants. So I think that's something that's really unusual, something brand new this time around.
It is.
And he's using it to his advantage.
The question is it going to change local politics? Is it going to change local campaigns on how local campaigns, state campaigns, and so on look at everything differently now? And they look at it, will they be able to see? Because a lot of these people are in this never Trump mindset that is like hard to lose those spots.
They will be studying him. This will be their case study number one, I think. And they're still studying him now.
Because I think that the never Trumpers are as blind as the mainstream media. They are absolutely blind. They just don't. They have no clue.
I don't know whether
kids that are in college that have to pet dogs and make granola and have a stress relief by making some Christmas ornaments, it's finals and you're stressed out. They're having a big stress relief month. People that are they're short-sighted looking at that, because the colleges are indoctrination machines. They're like puppy mills to pump out these
they've
kids.
Been that
That's
way.
Why
they've
that
been
way.
That They've been that way since
what
the
if
60s.
People don't see it? They want to talk about 90 seconds, Taryn. We're just getting on a roll.
What?
I told you the 30 minutes would go quick. It's down to 90 seconds, 80 seconds. And when we listen back to the podcast, we're gonna say, wow, we were really getting good towards the end there. So we're kind of getting warmed up. It's been a great first show for you, Taryn. You had the first call in due to you.
Oh,
so that's congratulations.
Can I end?
You can end.
With
60
something?
Seconds. Yeah,
with the $1 trillion stimulus in mind, Milton Friedman made a very important quote, and he's saying, as we know, there are four ways that someone can spend money. You can spend it on yourself, and we all like to coupon and save our own money, or you spend it on your own money on somebody else. Third, you can spend someone else's money on yourself, or if you're spending someone else's money on someone else, aka the government, how careful are they going to be? How efficient are they going to be? So I think that's what we really have to look at with this administration coming up.
Trump gets things done under budget, ahead of schedule.
I hope so.
Under budget, ahead of schedule. He does. Karen?
Yeah. that I almost ran out of time, but I had to add that.
All right, I think
we have a
minute. We're going to have a luxury minute, which we can use to say thank you to all the listeners, to Amy who called in, to Taryn who is our great show, and we'll keep everybody posted on the next time we're going to broadcast. So stay tuned. Thank you, Taryn. I'll talk to you on the backside.
Thank you.
Good night. You're welcome. Good night.